I want to invite you to join me as we would come before the Lord. Father in heaven, we welcome your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is here, that your holy angels are here. We make room for you. We thank you that you will speak to us. We thank you that in Jesus, it is well with our soul. We sit at your feet and we listen to your word. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The Bible teaches in the book of Esther, chapter 4, a very important message. And I want to invite you to turn there with me to Esther, the 4th chapter. Did you bring your Bibles with you? As always, we want to get into the Word of God. Esther, chapter 4. Pastor Ken, where is Esther? Well, that was a good question. I wanted to make sure I kind of help you a little bit. If you know where the book of Psalms is, the largest book in the Bible, go back one book to Job, and the very next book after Job comes Esther. Esther chapter 4. And as you're trying to find it there, let me say this. Boys and girls, as you listen to this sermon today, whether you're a young boy or girl and it's difficult for you to really listen and understand, maybe your mom can listen and dad can listen for you, I would like for you during the message today that whenever you hear Pastor Ken say the words, "For such a time as this," every time I share that expression, if you would just put a little mark on a piece of paper and you tell me how many times I did that, and I have something for you after the church service. But you need to tell me how many times you marked "for such a time as this." We live in a very interesting time. We live in a time that's challenging, a time that's demanding. It demands our courage. It demands our integrity. It demands that we be honest. As we enter into this story, Esther lived in such a time. By God's grace, she was prepared. By God's grace, she was positioned to make a difference for her generation. Esther, of all the people, no one would ever think it would be Esther. Yes, you, Esther, for you, I positioned you for a special purpose. She lived in a time of crisis. There was a crisis in her local church. There was a crisis in the world that she lived in. But not only that, the world she lived in, there was a threat of a massive loss of life. Things did not look good. In fact, with the knowledge that she had, it just seemed like there was no way out, no way out of the situation and the dilemma they found themselves in. But Esther believed that God had the answer. But the question was, would Esther be true to her mission? Would she be an agent for change, or would she forget her mission and lose her way? Friends, as I look out in the congregation today, as you look up here on the platform today, we are the Esthers of this generation. We are the Esthers of this generation. God has given to this church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a unique message, a unique mission. May we not lose our way. Will we be true to God as he has called us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians? Will we be agents of truth for him? I looked in Esther chapter 4, and I saw Esther's mission motto, and I want to read it to you. Would you follow with me now? Esther 4, verse 14. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom?" What's the expression? "For such a time as this." For such a time as this. I like that expression, don't you? I like that motto. Listen, Christian friends, Seventh-day Adventist Christian friends, the majority of you that are here today, you and I, we have been prepared by God. We have been positioned by the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of the Word of God to make a difference in this world today. I believe that with all my heart. And I think that we need to take this mission motto of Esther's and make it our own for such a time as this. I would invite you to go with me in your Bibles to Luke, the 21st chapter. And as you're going to Luke chapter 21, let me just mention to you that I would like for us to see this theme, this motto, in the light of healthful living. We're going to focus in that in the light of healthful living for such a time as this. Friends, do we live in a time of a health crisis, by the way? Do we? Is this world suffering with emotional problems? Are there mental problems? Is there depression? Is it going rampant? Is it on the rise? Is there a lot of anxiety? What about in the physical realm? Is obesity skyrocketing? Is diabetes out of control? Is the good life killing people? Indeed, friends, we live in a time of crisis, and people don't know what to do. They just do not know what to do. Do you sense that as you go out in the everyday world as it relates to healthful living? I would like to suggest that we live in a time of crisis. We live in a time of crisis in the local Seventh-day Adventist Church of Sutherland. We live in a time of crisis in this world. And the world looks around and says, we don't know what to do. What are we to do? And I read here in Bible prophecy in the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 as it describes your day and my day and yet future as well. It says here, Luke 21 verse 26, men's hearts, what are they doing? Failing them for fear and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. In other words, again, the world will see that there's no way out, no way out of the dilemma. In this sermon today, I am talking about the facet in our mission as Seventh-day Adventist Christians that relates to healthful living. I wonder, do we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians have a mission for such a time as this? Do we? There was a study made of different denominations, different churches across North America. And this study was made in the Journal of Religion and Science. And this is, as it were, Ripley's, believe it or not. Believe it or not, friends, the church that you are a member of will actually be a factor whether you are in health or not, whether you live longer or not. Isn't that interesting? They found, as they did this survey, that the church that you and I belong to, whatever that church may be, will be a determining factor as to what your health may be. And I don't say this unkindly. I don't say this out of disrespect. But did you know what the worst religion in terms of healthful living is? According to this journal, it's the Baptist Church. Now, again, I make no pronouncements, but my apologies to our Baptist Christian friends. These Christian people have an obesity rate of 30%, 30%. And general Protestantism, 22%. And then it goes on down from there. And I thank God, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, Protestants, we have a 3% obesity rate. Healthful living. Healthful living. Unfortunately, reality is that most of our Adventist churches have stopped talking about healthful living. In fact, we have stopped doing it. Ouch! And I wonder, friends, who is left to talk about it at such a time as this? Do you think that there are people in this church here at Sutherland who want to talk about it? Do you think that there are people in our church family here who not only want to talk about it, but who would like to live it as well? Could it be that God has raised up the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church for such a time as this, to be Esther's in this church, in this community? Esther found herself with this question in mind. What can I do with who I am at such a time as this? And I believe that question must be raised with us today, individually, as a church here at Sutherland, as Seventh-day Adventist in general. We must ask that same question. What can I do with who I am at such a time as this? Will we be true to our roots, or will we not? Today, I want us to go to our Bibles, and I want us to see how our God, our wonderful, awesome, patient, loving God, has given to you as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, yes, an advantage, yes, also a mission, as it relates to healthful living. Now, I want to say, as I made that statement, God has given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church some advantages. God has given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church a unique mission Friends, in making that statement, I do not mean in any way that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is more loved or more saved than our other Christian brothers and sisters. Amen? That is not the case at all. But God has given to you and me, as Adventist Christians, a unique advantage and mission. We need to understand it and to sense the responsibility for such a time as this. And the reason why we have this mission, the reason why we have this advantage, is not because of science. No. You see, science is only mirroring what the researchers have already found. And all that science has done today is to verify what we have given and learned years ago in regards to healthful living. So why do we, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, have, as it were, an advantage? Why do we have such a mission? Friends, it's not because of science. It is because of people like you and me who have gone to the Word of God, and we say to our God by faith, I see what the Bible says. I see what the Spirit of prophecy says. And by the grace of God, I am going to live it. And lest we forget our roots as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we will fail to be the Esthers of our day for such a time as this. So I want you to come with me. Quickly, we're going to take a journey through the biblical basis as to why we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians are called at such a time as this, this generation, this time, to live and to share the principles of healthful living. Yes, you and me are called with that mission in mind. And I want you to notice, this is so interesting as I've learned this here. Healthful living is connected to the key Bible truths that you and I as Seventh-day Adventists have been called to share uniquely for such a time as this. We begin in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, if you would go there with me. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been raised up to preach and to teach with clarity the prophetic books of Daniel and Revelation. We have been called with a mission to do that. And I want you to notice as we begin here in Revelation chapter 1, 1 and 2, notice these words. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. Now, what is it that John is talking about here? I would like to suggest that this is a description of the Bible doctrine of Scripture, how we receive the word of God. God the Father gave it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave it to an angel. An angel gave it to John or the prophet of God, whoever it is, and the prophet of God then delivered it to us through the Word of God. Amen. Are you thankful for the doctrine of Scripture? Seventh-day Adventist Christians are Bible-believing Christians. Do you agree with that? And we can be thankful for this wonderful fact. Friends, if we do not base our teachings, what we believe, on Scripture, we will fall. We will not be who we are. And yes, it is from Scripture, yes, the Word of God, that we receive the very principles of healthful living. And as valuable and as wonderful as the works and the writings of Ellen White are, and I thank God for them, it is from the Scriptures, the Word of God, that we get the final authority of what healthful living is all about. And I thank God for the authority of His Word. But I want you to notice now the next doctrine that I want for us to read about in Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Look at this doctrine as it relates to healthful living. John, verses 4 and 5 of Revelation 1. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth. Now notice this. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Now what Bible doctrine is being taught there? Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is not just another doctrine that the Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches. This is the pivot. This is the foundation. This is the focus of every Bible doctrine that we teach. It is not just another Bible doctrine. It is the foundation of every Bible truth that we as Seventh-day Adventists teach. But here is Seventh-day Adventists, we have a contribution, as it were, to share with our church, our world around us, and the world of Christians as well, that salvation in Jesus Christ is not just justification by faith. It is also sanctification by a faith in Christ who works by love. Amen? Salvation is not just the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers our sins, and praise the Lord for that. Good news. But that same blood empowers us to live in the present. Salvation is not just for the soul, but salvation is related to the body, how we treat our bodies, healthful living included. Now, as I think of the place of healthful living, there's a little expression I like to use, and it goes like this. Healthful living keeps us alert to the good news. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we believe the principles of healthful living, they keep us alert to the good news, that which saves us. It is a gospel that saves us. Healthful living keeps us alert to that fact. Now, you're not going to receive that down the street and around the corner. Much of Christianity today, in general, has little to say about the Christian and his health. And you know what? We are going to become just like our other Christian brothers and friends unless we come back to our roots, friends. Unless we come back to our roots and our true mission that God has brought us. I want for my life, every day of my life, by faith in Jesus Christ, the power of His blood to cover my sins. But I also want the power of His blood in the present. Amen? And so, the second doctrine, this doctrine of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, it is the foundation of all doctrines. Can you see how it's related to health? Can you see how the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures undergird what science has taught and teaches us the principles of our health and living? But maybe some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, you know, if the Bible is so great and salvation is to be so central, then why does the Bible seem to have mixed messages about healthful living? I mean, I come to the Old Testament, and it tells me I must eat this and not eat that. And then I come to the New Testament, and it just appears like I can eat anything. Anybody ever say that to you? And the only church that I'm aware of that has an answer to that question, and that wonders about that, and is able to give an answer to that question, is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Why is it that we have an answer as it relates to healthful living today? I'll tell you why. It's because the Adventist Church discovered the truth about God's right hand. It discovered the truth about God's right hand. And isn't healthful living the right hand of our message? And I looked this up, and you know, Ellen White did not think this up. She got it from the Bible, the Word of God. She took the principle from the Bible, and I want to take you through a time of discovery in the next few moments and help us to understand the power and the influence of the right hand and the symbolism of the right hand in Scripture. And I want us to see how healthful living, the right hand of our message, is related to our unique Bible truths, the right hand of our message. So with your Bibles, Exodus chapter 15, will you? Exodus, the 15th chapter. Exodus. What does that mean? It means the way out. The way out. It is God's documentation of leading His people out of Egypt, taking them to His mountain. And believe it or not, it is the very first CHIP program in Scripture. Yeah. And you'll see it now. It doesn't say, thou shalt keep the CHIP program. It doesn't say that, but the principles are there. It's there, friends. And connected with this fact is the right hand that brought them out of Egypt. We'll see it for ourselves. You there? Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to look at the first two verses of Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Have you ever sang that song? You want to learn it. You want to learn it well, because it is a song of Moses and the Lamb. And I wonder, what hand led them out of Egypt? Egypt symbolizes sin. Egypt symbolizes the world. Egypt symbolizes the past. What hand delivered them out of Egypt to a new life? What hand? Well, let's look at it right there in Scripture. Verse 6 of Exodus chapter 15. What does it say? Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your what? Right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. So it's God's right hand. By the way, where does God's right hand always lead? Oh, this is important. This is beautiful. Look at verses 11 through 13 of Exodus chapter 15. Where does it always lead? Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your, what does it say? Right hand, and the earth swallowed them up. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. To your holy habitation. Do you know what God's holy habitation is? You know what it is? It's his sanctuary. His sanctuary. The right hand always leads to the sanctuary in all that it means. Hold on. We'll explain in a few moments. The health message is always to lead God's people to the sanctuary. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Now, think about it. God's people, the children of Israel, find themselves in Egypt. The Egyptians were keeping them in bondage, weren't they? In slavery. I wonder, were the Israelites depressed, do you think? Oh, yes. Did they have some emotional needs, maybe? Did they have some physical needs? Oh, indeed. Notice what God had to do as he rescued, his rescue plan, the CHIPS program introduced for life. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we begin with verse 8. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with what kind of hand? A mighty hand, the right hand, the mighty hand of God, and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, go down to verse 15 with me. Verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them all on those who hate you. Now, how would God be able to do this? How would he do this? Answer, through the mighty right hand. Through the mighty right hand, God's principles of healthful living. I looked further at that passage. Look at verse 26. This is powerful. Verse 26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. Now, notice this promise. I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who what? Heals. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. This is the first CHIPS program. God saw that his people were emotionally about to break. God saw that his people were going to be physically ill, unable to handle the stresses and the strains as they would go across the desert through the wilderness. He saw that. And so guess what he started to do? He introduced the CHIP ministry. And so the children of Israel began to let go, took some time, because they had been in Egypt for a long time, right? It takes time to get rid of some of those Big Macs and the greasy fries. You know, it took time for them to let go of this diet. And so to let go of the erroneous beliefs they learned in Egypt to live healthfully for God and to follow his principles. And I was curious, what was it like to be an Israelite living in the time of Egypt? What were some of their health principles anyway? What were some of the things they taught as it relates to healthful living? That God says, I'm going to have you leave that, and I want to have you follow my health principles. Well, I'll share with you a few, just a few. The Egyptian medical books prescribed something for a loss of hair. That was very interesting for me because I have a little loss of hair just in the back. Please don't say anything more now. But notice what it says here in the Egyptian medical books about the loss of hair. What to do? First, apply to the scalp a mixture of 6 fats. Those of the horse, the hippopotamus, the crocodile, the snake, the cat, the ibex, and then to all of this, a donkey's tooth crushed in honey. Can you imagine that, what it would do to falling hair? I think I'll just accept my situation until the Lord comes, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Yes. And then there is a remedy for snake bites. You see, they had a lot of snake bites back then. The snakes were loose, and they were out in the desert and so on. So what are you going to do? Here's my prescription. It was called magic water. And they would drink this magic water. It was water that was poured over an idol. And it was mixed with embedded splinters treated with worm's blood and ass's dung. That's the magic water, a person suffering from a snake bite. And if that isn't bad enough to show you how ignorant they were about healthful living, here's some of their drugs. Lizard's blood, swine's teeth, putrid meat, ass's hooves, and excretion of animals. So with this background, friends, can you understand what our God wanted to do? He wanted to remove them from these health practices of Egypt and bring them out of that into following His. And you know what the Word of God says? In the book of Psalms, chapter 105, verse 37, it says, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Amen? Praise the Lord. The CHIP ministry works. It works. Israel stopped following Egypt's diet, and no more double cheeseburgers at McDonald's and greasy fries 2 or 3 times a week. God gave to the children of Israel laws that were a total contrast to the health laws of Egypt. By the way, are you taught principles of healthful living in non-denominational churches? Are you going to be taught this in the Pentecostal churches of today? You're only going to hear it in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Do you think the world needs to hear it? Do you think it needs to hear it? Is it a message for such a time as this? I am thankful to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian for such a time as this. And healthful living is just one of the areas that we can share a part of our mission to our world that we live in. By the way, when God's people got to the sanctuary, what happened there? When they got to the sanctuary is built now. What was it all about? The sanctuary was to point to who? Jesus Christ. Everything about the sanctuary. I want to talk more about the sanctuary in the future. Everything uplifted Jesus Christ. And so when these people came, they laid their burdens on the Lamb. And by God's grace through faith, they were saved. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Amen? Burdens are lifted. And even on the Day of Atonement, yes, the Day of Atonement, the people continue to believe in the saving blood of the Lord's goat. Yes, even during the Day of Atonement, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb, and their burdens were lifted. Amen and amen. And so the emotional baggage was cared for in the sanctuary. And by the way, on the Day of Atonement, the Bible says that God's people humbled themselves before the Lord. They even chose to eat differently on that day, unlike any day of the week, because they wanted to be alert to the good news of the gospel taught in the sanctuary. They wanted to stay humble before the Lord. And I've wondered sometimes, why is it that we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians choose to live healthfully? I'll tell you one of the major reasons, friends, we're living during the real Day of Atonement. The real Day of Atonement. Friends, are we going to hear this from the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, as much as I love those dear Christian friends? Have we as Seventh-day Adventists been raised up for such a time as this? I wonder, is the sanctuary being attacked in our church? The sanctuary truth? Is the sanctuary truth being attacked outside the church? You think we need to get rid of it? You think we need to be embarrassed about it? You think we need to study more about it and know about it and see how it uplifts Christ and allow the burdens to be lifted at Calvary. The only reason you and I as Seventh-day Adventists have a health message today, what Adventist did was to rediscover the Exodus experience that I'm taking you through. God led his people out of Egypt, and unfortunately, they fell away. Unfortunately. But at the end of time, God is going to begin a new Exodus. And it's described in Revelation chapters 10 through 15. A new Exodus. And at the end, read about it, they sang the song of Moses and the Lamb. The sanctuary is the foundation of our health message. As you have your Bibles open, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy 5th chapter. There's something more to the right hand of our God that he has done. God's right hand wrote the Ten Commandments. He wrote the Ten Commandments, including the seventh-day Sabbath. And so the Sabbath memorializes creation. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. You see, the symbol of the right hand in Scripture is tied to creation. What does it say there in the book of Psalms, I believe? You span the heavens with your right hand. And so the seventh-day Sabbath memorializes creation. But as we look now at Deuteronomy chapter 5, what else does it memorialize? Notice that the last part of verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched hand. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to what? To keep the Sabbath. To keep the Sabbath. He brought you out by an outstretched hand. There's the right hand, reminding him that he brought them out. Therefore, keep the Sabbath. Did you notice here that both creation and redemption are summarized in the activity of keeping the seventh-day Sabbath? Friends, the Sabbath points to something greater than itself, to our God, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, and he is inviting us to rest in him. You see, even the Sabbath is related to healthful living. Let me explain briefly. Each seventh-day Sabbath, we are invited to enter into God's salvation rest. Do you know about that salvation rest that we're invited to enter into each seventh-day Sabbath? Rest from the toils of a busy work week. Are you praising the Lord for that rest? But even more so, and especially on the seventh-day Sabbath, friends, we are invited to rest from the burdens of sin. The burdens of sin. How many think people who attend our CHIP ministries here in Sutherland and our other ministries here at Sutherland could benefit healthfully and spiritually from the Sabbath rest? How many? You think they would? Oh, yes, yes. Some of our Adventist churches that have the CHIP ministry, they invite people to come to a Sabbath experience, and they come, and some never stop coming. And you know why? They saw people in that church who had Christ's salvation rest in their hearts. That's why. That's why. Do you see how the Scriptures are related to healthful living? Do you see how salvation is related to healthful living? Do you see how the sanctuary is related to healthful living? Do you see here how the Sabbath is related to healthful living? Just one more moment. I want to show you another Bible doctrine. It is the doctrine called the state of the dead. What happens when a person dies? A Seventh-day Adventist church has four cardinal doctrines. That means four pillar doctrines, doctrines that are unique to Seventh-day Adventists, and they all start with an S. You ever notice that? It goes like this. Sanctuary, Sabbath, Second Coming, State of the Dead. And you're not going to get that in any other church. They don't have a health message in any other denomination either. And thus, people, what happens? Listen carefully. They die earlier. They get more obese and health problems, and are entangled with physical and emotional problems. And I'm not to say here that as Adventists, we don't have some of those problems either. But they're not going to hear about these Bible truths down the street and around the corner. But what about the state of the dead? In that study that I shared with you from Science and Religion Journal that researched the many denominations and their health, you know what else they discovered in that study? They said that in much of the churches where they disconnect the idea of the soul and the body. They disconnect it. They say the soul is what's most important. The body's not that important. They disconnect it. Those denominations that take that position theologically, the people don't live as long and they're more obese and they will have more health problems. Now, if we just think this through, we can understand why this is happening. If you think that once you're saved, you're always saved, and that it doesn't matter how you live, you're going to get there anyway. The soul is most important. It doesn't matter how you treat your body and how you live, you're going to get there anyway. As you have that attitude, as you have that mindset, friend, it's going to affect your health for sure. How we care for our bodies will not be important. Do you see the power and the influence of this false doctrine that other denominations have purported? Second coming, sanctuary, Sabbath, state of the dead. Four pillar doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that are rooted and grounded in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But let me say, as I close this message today, that although the belief in the prophetic gift of Ellen G. White is not one of the pillars of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, she is indeed the lesser light that brings us to the greater light in the Word of God. You see, following her writings is yet another defining difference between our movement, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, in these last days of Earth's history, and other movements. And I stand before you here today, and I thank God for the writings of Ellen G. White. I thank God because not only as we have studied from the Word in the Bible and the Bible alone today, will you discover that Ellen White confirms what we already read and studied from the Scriptures itself, but you will discover that Ellen White also teaches many other Bible truths that are in harmony with this book that is authority for our lives. Friends, remember this. Our salvation is based and grounded not in what church we belong to, but in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? But I stand before you, not with pride and putting down my other Christian brothers and sisters. I love them. I long for seeing them in heaven. And I long to share with them the truths that we know as they would share with me their truths in Jesus. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful to be a part of this movement? To be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? God has given to us as Adventists a treasure. Do you believe that God has called the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church for such a time as this? Has he called you? Has he called you for such a time as this? Has he called me? If you have accepted and want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, who is the center of every Bible truth that we teach, and if he isn't, then we're sinning. And then it's legalism, and it's error, and it's emptiness. But every Bible truth, Jesus Christ, if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to rededicate your life to the mission that God has uniquely given to us as Adventists, and that we still have a mission at the Seventh-day Adventist Church here at Sutherland, if you want to rededicate your life to that purpose, I would invite you to stand with me right now. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we stand before you now, and we come and thank you that you have given to us a mission, a unique mission for such a time as this. And we would ask that by the grace of God that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the central message, the central person, the power and strength of anything and everything that we do. Father, help us to take seriously this health message you've given to us. Help us to not only talk about it, but by your grace to live it. And we thank you, Lord, not with pride that we are better than our other Christian brothers and sisters, but we thank you for the responsibility, God-given mission that you've given to us as Adventists in these last days. May we, like Esther, accept it and receive it. In Jesus' holy name, we would uplift you and sing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Happy Sabbath. God bless you all.